Hi everyone, and welcome back to Friends Till the End, your one-stop shop for all things Friends as we run down the classic sitcom episode by episode. I'm Michael, and I've seen Friends over 1,000 times.
And I'm Elizabeth, and I have never seen Friends.
The devil, you say? Never seen Friends?
Never seen Friends.
What the hell are you doing? You used to just tune in to NBC on a Thursday evening, and as soon as Mad About You was over, you would just switch off and go, well, it's not going to get any better than that.
Pretty much.
All right, fair enough. So you missed out on Caroline in the City and Seinfeld and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Feel sorry for you. What a sheltered life.
Sorry, man.
We're back, dude.
Michael's been a little busy.
Well, you know, people know our summer schedule is a little bit off. You know, we like to try and release at least one a week, and people just know in the summer that's not always possible. But I just wanted to say, on this, the most joyous of days, on this massive, significant moment, this fantastic moment in our podcast history, I'm really proud of everything that you've done. So congratulations. So shake my hand, dude.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anything you would like to say to me?
What are you referring to? Why is this such an important day?
Oh, you forgot?
What is it?
Oh. No, it's fine. It's okay. I guess we didn't talk about it before. I was just expecting that you might, you know, remember our 100th episode of Friends Till the End.
But that's today? That was it? That episode we just watched?
No. We've watched over 100 episodes because we've done double episodes.
Yes,
we've also referenced the 100th Friends episode on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have.
But this is our 100th episode of the podcast.
This is amazing.
Yeah. So what'd you get me?
I got you love and admiration.
Okay,
but... And respect.
Well, I don't...
And a good glass of wine.
I'm not feeling any of those things.
Well, drink up.
I have a can of beer in my hand that I got myself.
You know what? This glass of wine, though, would probably make you feel a little bit better.
Well, there's not much left in it. You seem to have glugged most of it down, but...
As you do.
Yeah. So 100 episodes, Elizabeth. How does that feel? Did you ever think, when we started this on a drunken whim about... God, it's almost 2 years ago now.
Wow.
Did you think, we'll get to 100 episodes? Did you think that we would take it this far when we first started, like, just watching Friends and recording, like, our chat about it?
Actually, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh.
I figured we would just keep going and do it, and hopefully people will like it.
And some people do.
Yes.
Some people don't, but some people do.
Do they not? I hope people don't say mean things about
us. We haven't had any hate mail. I think it, you know.
That's good. Because I try really hard to be likable.
Well, I just don't think we inspire enough emotion to produce hatred.
Fair. Like, yes.
It's hard to write apathy mail.
It's we're just like accepting of everyone, and we're very kind. I like to think so. We only make fun of people when they deserve it, you know.
Yeah, it's true. But 100 episodes. How does it feel knowing we're 100 episodes in and we're still not even halfway through?
It feels painful.
Yeah.
Really sore. It's tough. It's tough going.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Still a long way to go, mate. And here's the real kicker. After this season, it all gets a little bit shit.
Oh no.
Yeah. It really becomes a bit of a war of attrition after season 6 anyway. So we've got a couple more years of decent stuff anyway.
Great. I'm really looking forward to it.
So last episode I got a little bit of stick from you for my Storage Wars based stuff.
Yes, it was so unexpected and very strange.
Well, you thought that it wasn't going to connect with the people.
Of course not.
But we had literally dozens of people being that, like, yes.
No, we did not have dozens.
We had tweets about it.
Dozens, so 24 plus.
We had a tweet about...
Okay, that's what I thought.
How much...
And who was it? Was this a member of your family?
I quote.
Okay.
_ screaming sugar at @KimDim5 at FriendsPod Central Perk Gang as Storage Wars LMAO. The Gellers would steal the show. Ross would be the annoying one who thinks he knows the value of everything, only to be wrong. Monica would keep raising the bid. Tell me you wouldn't watch that show.
I'd watch it.
It'd be pretty great.
Who is this? Who is this?
This was underscore Screaming Sugar at Kim Dim. I believe it's one of our patrons.
Oh my god.
So she pays her salary. So she knows what she's talking about. I do
know. Okay, well, shoot. Then you, Screaming Sugar, and Michael can get together and make up all these new ideas.
She writes your paychecks, Elizabeth. You will show her the GD respect that she deserves.
I mean, it just was so... Like, if you had prepped me beforehand, I would have been like, okay, he's just doing his weird thing, but no.
Well, I'm not going to prep you for this one either.
Oh, no.
Boom, ba-doom, boom, boom, ba-doom, ba-doom, boom. Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salad and scrambled eggs. All right, Frasier, enough. It's quite stylish. I like maybe goes, I seem a bit confused, but maybe I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Boom, boom. Good night, everybody. We love you.
You know what I like? When he goes, mercy.
Mercy. Do you know why I'm singing this song?
Because I like Frasier.
Have you heard the news today, oh boy?
Oh God, is that something awful?
And by news, you might think it's great. By news today, I just mean it's like sitcom related and it's a show that's not Friends, but we reference quite a lot. It's Frasier. And this is, and I say it's news. This came out a couple of weeks ago, but you know, we're not recording recently. They're Kelsey Grammer's in talks of bringing back the show.
Oh. With all of the cast?
Well, kind of. But, you know, John Mahoney died earlier this year.
I know that he died. But, like, would David Hyde Pierce be there and Roz and Daphne? And...
Well, this is what we should discuss. Because all that we know right now is Kelsey Grammer is open to revising the character. So if they were to bring back the show... Would you want to see the original gang? Would you like to see them shake it up and try something new?
No. No? The original gang.
You want them all back?
Yeah.
Even without Mari?
Mm-hmm. Oh, they'll acknowledge it, but I want everyone...
Because you know Eddie's...
What?
Doing great.
Eddie's real name is Moose.
And is in retirement.
Did you know that?
Well, I know the original Eddie's name was Moose.
He always had his tongue out a little. It was so cute.
He used to stare at him while he was trying to eat. He did not like it. Do you know the story that Kelsey Grammer was, like, legit jealous of that dog?
Why?
He used to do, like, interviews and, like, people would be like, "Why? How is that dog such a good actor?" And Kelsey Grammer would be like, "That dog is not a good actor. He responds to tinned food and he reacts accordingly and he does very well, but he is not an actor."
Oh my god.
My god, Niles.
I love that show. It's so well done.
But do you want more? Yeah. Like, it was so perfect. You want more?
I want more.
Like, you always said you preferred Niles to Frasier.
Frasier's kind of a dick.
Well, Kelsey Grammer is kind of a dick.
Yeah. No, he's not very nice.
Right. So, you know, maybe just leave the memories alone, I think.
I think Niles is funnier.
Like... It's your kind of fall asleep at night show.
Yeah.
Do you need more? Or can you not just watch what we have?
I need more.
Oh, all right. Fine. You've heard it there. You've heard it here first, folks. More Frasier. Good thing.
Are we going to talk about Friends or are we just going
to dick around? We're going to get to it. We finished watching the episode, which is called The One with All the Resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
Season 5, episode 11. Our 100th episode. Not that you remembered, motherfucker. I hired the original barbershop quartet that sang to Rachel in the Bloomingdale's office that one time. In an episode you definitely don't remember, but now I'm going to cancel them because you just don't appreciate it. We'll get to that in all in good time, but first, it's time to play a bit of Bamboozled.
Bamboozled!
Would you like to know the good people that have been playing along at home?
Absolutely.
All right. So, the Andy Fennec has been on. He said he especially enjoyed this week's episode, which he retitled the one with the ironic sound levels. You know what, Andy? How dare you criticize our amateur status? I hope it's going a lot better this week. We're trying real hard. I even have headphones in this week to try to monitor
it's
things.
It's very hard. I'm wrapped up like a burrito, and I have to sit up and talk into a microphone as opposed to just lazing about. So it's really, really frustrating for me, and I hope you all appreciate it.
Anyway, he submitted his scores. Last week, you scored 2 out of 5.
Oh, that was rubbish.
Well, you know, it's...
That's bad.
It's about average for you.
Great, thanks.
Andy got 3 out of 5, so he bamboozled you.
But that's not even that great. I mean, good job, but like, only one more?
Well, you know, we're not... I don't know. But also, Claire, his significant other, scored 2 out of 5. So it's a tie. Yes. In the event of a tie, we do give the win to Elizabeth.
Shame, so Claire, shame.
You are shamed, I'm afraid.
Yes.
Scott H, at Scotty _ 1985, has been back on. He got 4 out of 5.
Oof. All
so
right.
Congratulations, Scott.
Good for you, yes. Nice work.
Also, his wife, because couples play along at this game, his wife, Lindsay, she also got 4 out of 5. So you got schooled.
Oof, nice job, you guys.
Lindsay then did follow up, though, herself, because she don't just let her man speak for her.
Very good.
She said she named both of the books from last week's one. Do you remember?
No.
When I asked you to name two books that, like, Joey and Rachel were swapping in their book reading club?
Oh, God, no.
So she thinks she deserves an extra point. I say no, because I was only asking for one of the books. But nice try, Lindsay.
She's trying to milk it for all it's worth.
She is. Bless her. So yeah, a bit of a mixed bag. You managed to bamboozle Claire, but then were bamboozled yourself, so...
I only just barely bamboozled someone because of the rule. I'm very ready for this. I think I'm gonna get 5 out of 5.
Do you?
Why are you laughing like that? Jesus!
I don't know why you would expect to get 5 out of 5, but yeah, let's give it a go. Alright, first up.
Oh, man.
Which one of the Friends gang worked in the museum alongside Ross during one episode?
Joey.
Yes.
Yes!
Correct.
Yes.
Remember
yes,
they
yes.
had their whole big thing about who sat with who during lunch?
Yes, I
did. Very good. And Tracy Morgan's wife from 30 Rock was there.
Sherry Shepherd.
Indeed. Okay.
I remembered a name.
So I asked you a question a few weeks ago.
I've forgotten it.
Well, of course you have. But it was, you remember Kathy?
No.
She dated Joey and Chandler liked her and then she kissed Chandler and then she dated Chandler.
Oh, yes. That was her okay. name. Short hair?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Paget Brewster.
I don't know.
Anyway, she celebrated a birthday and a question I've asked you previously is what book Chandler got her for her birthday, and the answer was The Velveteen Rabbit. And Chandler spent a long... I'm trying to make this as easy as possible. Chandler spent a long time trying to find the perfect gift that was better than what, like, Joey was going to get... Or wasn't as good as what Joey was going to get her. My question to you is, what did Joey get Kathy for her birthday?
God.
And then, at the end of the episode, he switched it and he gave it to Chandler. And Chandler had to pretend like he was giving it to her. It was something rubbish. And it was a combination of two ordinary household objects wrapped up into one.
No idea.
No?
No idea.
If I said it was a pen that had a clock on it, does that ring any bells?
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, there we go.
A pen and a clock?
It was a pen with like a little clock on it.
Oh, I thought you meant two separate things wrapped into one gift.
Nope, I said it was one gift with two...
No, you didn't say one gift. Right. You said two household items wrapped into one.
Would it have made a difference?
No!
Okay, good.
It wouldn't have.
Okay. Here's one from a recent episode, this season. How did Rachel meet Danny? Probably about maybe 5 episodes ago.
She knocked on his door.
That's how she met him for the first time?
Apparently not. She met him in the mailroom.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. She, I don't know.
Her and Phoebe were in the basement looking for something. And then they saw a shadowy, hairy figure and they bug-bombed him.
And then they went to apartment, and then she saw him in the mailroom. Yeah. See, at least I'm getting some of it.
Well, yeah.
Hey.
Okay. All right. I'm looking this over. There's no way you're getting this.
Great.
Okay.
Can you make them a little bit easier?
Season 1.
Oh, great.
In the episode, the one with George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is.
Okay. So, there's an episode where Ross and Chandler and Joey go to an ice hockey game. And Ross is feeling really down because it's the night that he first had sex with Carol and now they're divorced and he's really glum.
Yeah.
And then something happens at the hockey game that requires him to have to go to the hospital.
He gets hit with a puck.
All right. Good job. You got it.
Wait, really?
Yes.
That was the question?
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to give you all of that context, but I was just worried about you. So there we go. Yes, he got hit. I was going to ask why he had to go to the hospital. Like, the night that he had sex with Carol.
Oh. I don't think you giving me the context really helped at all.
Oh, you would have got it anyway?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, then no problem.
Great. All right. Good job, me.
Okay. The opener to season 3, the one with the Princess Leia fantasy. There, in the closing sequences, Rachel dresses up in a gold bikini a la Princess Leia for Ross's vulgar titillation. But Ross can't enjoy it because he's picturing somebody else in the gold bikini. Who is he picturing in the gold bikini to take him out of the moment?
Someone he works with. His boss.
Who's his boss? Because, like, you actually see the person in the gold bikini. Why would he just fantasize about a boss who we've never seen before?
I don't know.
Okay. It's his mom. But,
His mom? Oh! Yeah. He would fantasize his mom over a random person we haven't seen before? Yeah.
If you'd remembered the episode, Michael, him and Chandler...
Michael, you know I haven't.
You have seen it! We've sat and watched it together! No.
Don't be crazy.
Alright. Well, you're nothing but...
Consistent.
If not consistent. 2 out of 5.
This is bad.
If you were able to bamboozle Elizabeth by scoring more than 2.5 out of 5 on this week's questions, tweet us at FriendsPod and you will be celebrated on the podcast, just as Andy and Scott and Lindsay were celebrated. What champions, what kings, what bastions of Friends knowledge that they are. But if you score equal or lower to Elizabeth at FriendsPod, you must tweet us so that you can be shamed. And even though the Andy Fennec's wife, Claire, did not tweet us directly, he took it upon himself to write in on her behalf. And so, Claire, you're shamed. Shame.
Hey, question.
Yeah.
Next bamboozled, can you make them a little bit easier?
I don't know how to do that.
I don't have a good memory.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. Like, I'm just asking friends questions. Like...
If you were to go to a friend's trivia, do you think you'd get them all?
No.
No?
Because it would do, like, impossible things.
So if I were to ask you bamboozled by any chance next episode...
Oh, let's do it.
That questions I just thought of on my own?
I would love that.
Okay. I challenge you to bamboozle next episode. Can't I will wait. Bamboozle your ass.
Can't wait. All
right?
All right. Looking forward to
challenge
it.
Challenge accepted?
Challenge accepted.
Great.
I didn't realize I had to say formally challenge accepted.
You did, of course you did.
Challenge, your challenge has been accepted.
Wonderful.
All right, before we get to this episode, one final point of business.
It's been like 40 minutes.
Andy Fennec has been back on the Twitters, at FriendsPod, and he asks, after reviews of Spin City and Caroline in the City respectively, can I ask the panel's thoughts on Just Shoot Me? It would be unfair to leave it off the list of 90s kind of good sitcoms. Elizabeth. What are your thoughts on Just Shoot Me?
Gosh, wasn't it something? It had a lot of characters that said a lot of things. And there was plots and laughter, really, at times. And some really curious, you know, interesting moments.
Pretty risque at times, I thought.
You know, sometimes,
you know, when you set a sitcom in the glamorous and maybe misogynous world of a fashion magazine.
Maybe, yes,
You're courting controversy.
Uh-huh, of course.
It introduced the world to David Spade.
David Spade, yep.
I don't want to speak for your own country, but a national treasure.
Pretty David sure he Spade. Voiced... Cusco and Emperor's New Groove.
Very good.
So I think that speaks for itself, really.
Yeah. And of course, the baby daddy to Kirstie Alley's child in the movie Look Who's Talking.
Right, is always. In it yeah.
Also.
Mm-hmm. So it was really something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Seriously, Andy, I liked it. I thought Just Shoot Me was actually pretty damn good and pretty damn funny. But yeah, I liked it.
I've literally never seen it.
Well... Maybe we'll put up a poll for our Friends fans between Spin City, Just Shoot Me, and Caroline in the City. That'll be fun.
That'll be so fun.
I mean, if I was to rank them off the top of my head, I think, I don't know. I think I'd go Spin City, then Just Shoot Me, then Caroline in the City.
Yeah, right.
More like Caroline in the Shitty.
Ooh!
Because it's not good.
All right, let's get into this, man.
All right. Season 5, Episode 11, The One with All the Resolutions. First aired on the 7th of January. We did it. We're in 1999, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. We've come a long way, baby.
We have.
How many people do you think watched this one? The last episode got 23.7 million. Don't want to put pressure on you, but I am fucking kicking your ass on the predictions or the guesses on the viewer ratings. So you kind of need this one, buddy.
Well, I guess I have nothing to lose then. I'm going to say
23.5. I'll say 23 even. I don't think they're going up off 23.7.
Okay.
Holy shit.
What?
27. They gained 4 million viewers, yeah?
Yes, that means I got it.
What the fuck?
Yay, yay.
That's really weird.
What?
They gained like 3.5 million people.
Jeez, Elizabeth, you are real smart. You're like the best... The closest. That was amazing.
They had a couple of weeks off, admittedly, in between. Like, the last one was the 70s.
Yes, it is. People are like, I have to start watching Friends again.
I guess.
I got one. What's the score?
It's 7-4.
Yeah, yeah.
Closing the gap. All right. We open in a New Year's Eve party, or as I would call it, a Hogmanay party.
Hogmanay.
But unlike a Scottish Hogmanay, there's not people just randomly being sick in the corner.
Oh my god.
And there's not cans of Tennent's littered all over the place. And there's not empty bottles of Strongbow just kind of partially filled with cigarette and joint stubs.
Crikey.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Savage. New Year's Eve 1999. Don't get me started, man. Phew.
What were we, like 14?
Oh, if you can remember it, you're only really there.
Oh
anyway.
My god.
I wasn't paying too close attention. Did you notice Gunther in the background of this party?
I did not.
Oh, shit. I think he was there.
I didn't see him.
He must have been.
I try to look in the background a lot. I didn't see him.
We'll go back and look. And really? If I don't add something here saying that he wasn't there, we can just assume he was there. Because he has a streak of being at every friend's party.
I suppose, yes.
Not I suppose, he's there. He's always, like, sometimes there's only, like, 4 other guests outside the Friends gang.
I know.
But he's always there.
I know.
Anyway, this is a reasonably well-attended party. Monica and Chandler are looking a bit pensive, and they're kind of like, sort of wringing their hands. And Joey's like, what's up, guys? The ball's about to drop. Come on, man. Dick Clark's still alive, and we're just enjoying it.
Aww.
And they're like, we want to kiss at midnight, but people will think it's suspicious. So Joey goes into wingman mode. You know, usually Joey is, like, apprehensive. Like, guys, you gotta fucking chill. You can't have your sex parties with video cameras in your front room in case Rachel walks in. But nah, he's like, I'll take care of it. So he goes around the group and he's basically just like, hey, who you kissing? And he kind of just arranges it so that, like, Ross is gonna kiss Phoebe and he's gonna kiss Rachel. And then no one will bat an eyelid that Monica's doing a wee kiss on Chandler.
Yeah,
the Chan man.
Mm-hmm.
The Channy Man can, because he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
And the world tastes good, because the Channy Man thinks it should.
Thinks it should. So yeah, they do that. And again, just like, a part of me thinks at this stage, Chandler and Monica want to get caught. Because they're like...
Oh my god, right?
Everyone just does like a little... Mwah, 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 and they're like...
Yeah, her hand's like around his neck. It's the whole nine yards.
Yeah. But no one notices. Not even Gunther.
Everyone's too drunk and drinking their fucking Tennent's.
Yeah, Gunther just took a swig of the Strongbow bottle and got a mouthful of used cigarettes.
There's absinthe in the corner, then someone's taking...
a Scottish New Year's party.
Shots of absinthe with a chaser of...
Try a bottle of Bucky and you're maybe closer to a Scottish New Year's party. I'm so Scottish. Hey, I've still got it.
What's that orange soda that's crazy that you guys drink?
Nobody knows.
No, the one.
MD-2020?
No, that like crazy bubbly beverage. It's orange. Oh, you're colorblind.
Oh, Iron Brew?
Iron Brew! Oh, Iron Brew. It took
you that long to think of Iron Brew. All right. The episode opens after the party. Ross is kind of just sort of like, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. No divorces. And then people are like, well, your divorce isn't final yet. He's like, next year, no divorces. And Ross is like, I'm going to be happy this year. That's going to be my goal.
That's sad.
And we're all just like,
Ross. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Ross.
Come on.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, come on.
You're not fooling anyone. And so he kind of amends it to be like, I'm just going to like do something new every day. I'm going to seize the moment every day.
That's a lot, to be honest. Every day. I can see like once a week.
That sounds every exhausting. Day.
Yeah, you have to like go out of your way to do that shit.
Yeah. It's just no. Phoebe wants to be a pilot of a major airline. It's not realistic.
No. No, it's not.
Chandler gets baited into not making jokes about people or making fun of people. And they're like, oh, I would love to see you not make fun of people for a year. And then Ross is like, better yet, 1 week. And it's like, why is that better yet?
He made it $50 bet.
But if you like want him to stop making fun of people, why would 1 week be better than a year?
Because he doesn't believe in him that he even lasts that long. Well, so he thinks it's an easy $50.
So anyway, he's just suckered himself into that. Joey says, I'm going to learn to play the guitar. And Phoebe's like, I can teach you because I taught myself how to play the guitar. And then Rachel, just wanting to get in on all of this, is like, I am going to gossip less about people. Did you like how they invented a character trope for Rachel that we have not seen previous to this episode to just fit into the theme of the week?
Well, they all gossip.
They
looking at maybe. Me like that. They do. They all gossip.
But kind of every season I kind of asked you to kind of describe what the characters are all about, and not once have you said, oh, Rachel, what a fucking gossip. Like, that's not a thing. Like, Chandler not cracking jokes about people, yes, that is something that he consistently does. They have, like, had story episodes dedicated to him using humor as, like, a defense mechanism. Phoebe knows how to play the guitar so she can teach Joey. Ross is a fucking sad sack, so yes, he should aim to be happier. But Rachel, like, she's not been a gossip in episodes. That's never been a problem.
Kind of.
Not really.
No, I think she has.
When?
You know, around.
Name an example, please.
I can't.
Right.
But that's just because you're putting me on the spot.
No, it's not. It's because it's not been established in this episode. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to just rope it in because it's like, oh, Rachel, she's, you know, empty and vapid, and she's a daddy's girl, and blah, 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 you know, she's obsessed with consumerism and shopping and all these things, so of course she would be, it's not a stretch. You know, to the casual fan, you could get away with this, but we're scholars, Elizabeth, we've studied these episodes.
Studied.
We pour over every line of dialogue, and if you think...
I pour wine over every line of dialogue.
And I've asked you not to. The stains are very hard to get out. But if you think you can just slip that by us, that Rachel is a gossip, when you have not worked to establish that...
Who are you?
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
Thank you. Thank you for getting on my team.
You're welcome.
It took some convincing.
Mm-hmm.
And it... Can I just say I'd appreciate it if you would just back me up without me having...
Okay,
you know,
I'll just do it next time.
It's just fucking... Just have my back, okay. Man. It's fucking embarrassing. Jesus Christ.
Can you get me more wine?
So anyway, this has set up the episode nicely. These are the ones with all the resolutions that the episode is going to be based upon. We then cut to Ross in Central Perk. He has just made a date with a lovely lady. And, like, she's walking away having handed him a piece of paper. So he's like, yeah. And then Joey and Chandler come in. And they're like, hey, nice going, man. He's like, yeah, I just got a date with this girl. Her name is Elizabeth Hornswoggle. And I was like, Jesus Christ, they named the character after you, Elizabeth.
I know.
How did they know?
Well, I just want to point out that, you know, Ross says it wrong. It's not Elizabeth. It's not Elizabeth. It's Elizabeth. There's no I. It's an E.
What do you mean?
It's not Elizabeth. It's okay. Elizabeth.
I think you're focusing on the wrong thing. Were you surprised to hear your whole name shouted out on this episode of the podcast?
I am. I was surprised, but I was more so surprised because that's not a name you hear, in my opinion, a lot on TV and movies.
Are you ashamed of your last name?
Hornswoggle?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes?
Oh, but don't like, be. My first name is not something you hear a lot. Usually they go for like the easy ones like
Lizzie.
But not even that. Not even part of my name. Just like a typical like Chloe and a Maddie. And they, just like...
They call you Liz. They call you Lizzie. They call you Beth. They call you Lilibeth. That's not your name. Boom, boom. It's not your name. It's a song. By the,
I know.
It's... By the Ting Tings?
Ting Ting.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues.
All right, cute.
So yes, he is quick to tell Joey and Chandler that her last name is Hornswoggle. And Chandler kind of like gets that look in his eye and he's like, ooh, the possibilities for jokes are endless. But he can't say anything because he's bound by his New Year's resolutions.
Would you make fun of someone's name like that?
If their name was Hornswoggle?
Yeah.
Well, look, you know, it affects me personally. A good friend of mine has that name and I've been out with you when people have learnt your name and made fun of you, calling you the horny swoggler and, you know, throwing gold at your feet to see if you would snatch it up and ask if you live under a bridge. And I see how that affects you. So, like, no. No, I wouldn't. Because, you know, I'm a sensitive person.
I keep all that gold.
As well you should. Well earned.
Mm-hmm.
Joey is ready for his first guitar lesson with Phoebe. Phoebe has her guitar and she's like, you're not touching this bad boy. You need to learn the chords first. But she's not going to teach him your G's and your A's and your D's and your E's.
Yes, very good. Because she said, you know, before you can touch the guitar, you need to learn the chords and how mm-hmm. your hand is shaped into that chord. Because she doesn't actually know the names of them. She just recognizes the way her hand is on the strings. Her left hand. So she calls them all different names. She's like, this is the bear. And it kind of looks like, yeah, like the claw is coming out. And this is the old woman. And the hands are kind of like distorted and decrepit.
To be fair, the bear claw and the old lady are pretty similar.
No, the old lady's like Mary Berry biting into something.
Oh, how dare you?
No, I love Mary Berry, but like, you know how she like holds something and it's like... That's a good crunch.
What the fuck?
You know how like her crunches are really loud?
She's not a witch.
No, that was me crunching into something. And her fingers are all like gnarly. It's as bad as the raspberry not being put on the end of the cake at the end there.
How dare you? National treasure, Mary Berry.
I like Mary Berry. I'm just saying her hands are like...
British listeners, get her.
I love her and that's not what I'm saying.
Anyway, so Joey is learning pretty quickly that learning a guitar isn't quite what he expected. Mm-hmm. Derp, 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 derp.
Derp indeed.
Joey, we then cut to later. I'm sorry, my notes just have back-to-back Joey guitar lessons, but this is a different scene later on in the day. Joey has been practicing. He shows Phoebe the old lady, and she's like, very impressive.
And she's like, wow, that's very similar to Mary Berry.
Yeah.
Good.
And then Joey is, he feels like he's ready to pick up a guitar, but Phoebe is clearly practicing like she was a prison guard from Arrested Development, because there's no touching. There's no touching the guitar. If you watched Arrested Development, you would know that.
It's like a museum.
A very good joke.
I'm just saying it's like a museum. You go in there, no touching.
But, Elizabeth, when people listen to this podcast, do they want other sitcom references or do they want museum references?
Well, look, maybe someone has not seen that
show.
No
touching.
And they're going to be like, what the hell are they talking about? And then Elizabeth comes on and is like in a museum. And they'll be like, oh, like no touching. Got it. See?
Some museums do encourage you to touch.
Yes, but not all.
Yeah, but in all prison scenes of Arrested Development, there's a strict no touching rule.
Michael.
Which I must insist that we follow also. Keep your hands to yourself.
I have to stick so close to you now that I have to speak into this microphone like it's my frickin' ice cream cone.
Anyway, we then cut. So there's some tension between Joey and Phoebe. Anyway, we then cut. This is great. There's a scene where Ross walks into Monica and Rachel's apartment and he is carrying a young child with blonde hair and a curtain hut. And you say, who the fuck's that guy? Has it been that long?
I can't remember the last time we saw his son.
It is Ben. He is now...
It's Ben.
It's Ben.
I've done it.
You finally made me laugh. God, it's Ben. It is. And I'm so annoyed that I didn't think of it.
Don't worry, that's why you have me here. All right, so I'll take over because he's, you know, really laughing. So he comes in and it's freaking Ben. And we see him. He's got the bowl cut in all his glory.
Oh, he is not cute anymore.
No, he's cute. He just, you know, doesn't really say anything. And Rush just picks him up, puts him on a chair. Again, he has no reaction. And he's just sitting there in his full coat and his mittens.
He doesn't even reference him. He just walks in and just starts with his own stuff.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You
know, Monica does give him a hug and a kiss, so it's like, it's implied that he probably comes over there a lot to, like, be with his aunt.
He's a fucking prop at this point. It's ridiculous.
It's sad.
Ross walks in. Nobody references Ben, but everyone references Ross's choice of trousers.
Yes, he is wearing tight black leather pants.
Yeah. And the gang just eat it up.
To be fair, I don't know if I would have noticed them if they weren't pointing it out to try to make Chandler say something about them, you know? Like, his 90s fashion was so different. I just don't know if I would have been like, oh, wow, he's wearing leather pants. Because he's wearing a black shirt and then the black pants.
Chandler does struggle with this, struggles not to make jokes. The gang are trying to play it cool, and they're like, oh, no, it's cool. Yeah, it's good, good. And then Chandler's like, ah! And he runs off. And then after he leaves, Ross is like, do you really like my pants? And they're like, no, we hate them.
Yeah.
Have you ever worn leather trousers?
No.
No?
No. Nope.
Do you wear leather much at all?
Not real leather.
I've never really had a leather skin-on-skin experience, I don't think.
Like real leather?
Yeah. The only time I did it, I was in a band in high school, and we did like a battle of the bands, and we were very heavily...
Oh my god.
We were like heavy metal influenced, like Guns N' Roses style, so I wore like a leather waistcoat. Like topless. Nothing underneath, baby.
No way.
Do you have
pictures?
I don't think I do.
Ugh.
This was before the day of digital cameras, baby. Before the days of camera phones. Yeah.
What about Polaroids?
Wow. I was up on stage, you know. I was just moving about, you know, just like fucking feeling the music. But anyway,
oh my God.
I don't recall really the experience of feeling leather against my skin, but leather pants don't seem like a good idea.
No.
Okay.
Leather coats are kind of nice.
Yeah, they're all right.
I've never worn real leather, so I don't know.
Monica's at this point, Monica kind of just drops in that her resolution is taking photos of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
She mentions it, and it comes up a couple of times this episode. It doesn't pay off, right?
It's just random.
No. I mean, she was the only one at the beginning of the episode that didn't get to talk about her resolution, so
it's like she just needed something, and so they're like, let's just have her take pictures of things. So she kind of like pops in and takes pictures whenever people are talking.
Yeah. So then we cut to Ross on his date with Elizabeth Hornswoggle. Not you.
Nope, not me.
He's wearing his leather trousers, which, well, they look like trousers, but they pretty quickly turn into a pair of hot pants.
No, what?
Gets pretty hot.
Yeah, because they kind of hold in the heat. So he's cuddling on the couch with her, and he's like, jeez, it's so hot. Can I go to your bathroom? She's like, yeah, sure. So he's at her apartment in the bathroom, and is like, sweating really badly.
Mm-hmm.
Probably feeling really awkward about it. So he pulls down his pants and is like, wow, that's so much better. He puts a little bit of water from the sink on him.
Just tries to air them out.
Yeah, like cool his legs down, air them out. And then he pulls up his pants and he can't even get them past his knees. He's like really, really struggling.
He didn't really try to get his pants back up.
Well, it's acting.
Like, he tugs at them a little bit and he's just like, oh no.
Like obviously he can get them back up.
Well, we don't know about that. A couple of other things stood out to me about this. First of all, how fucking long was his shirt?
Well, it had to be long to block the fact that he was just in his underwear. And I don't think they wanted people to see him, like, fully...
What's the big deal about seeing him in his underwear?
I don't know. Maybe he had something in his contract.
We've seen fucking, like, Rachel in lingerie at
this
point.
Right, but maybe he had something. I don't know. But his black shirt is, like...
Really,
mid-thigh.
It's like a nightshirt. I think it switches between
shots.
It's like
shots. Grandpa Joe long.
There's like a time where he's like bending over where it's almost like covering his shins. It's like a nightshirt. And then later he kind of stands up and it looks more like a regular length. So it's almost like they're switching it out.
Grandpa Joe.
Second of all, did you notice anything about Elizabeth Hornswoggle?
No.
No? I just made a note that she had that kind of classic late 1990s kind of like antenna hair where she, like, her hair was kind of pinned back, and then she had, like, a couple of, like, little, like, strands, like, coming down separately, like, over her face. It was, like, kind of like the hair you would see, like, a character from Buffy the Vampire Slayer at the time.
Monica's had hair like that a little bit, and Rachel, when she styles it sometimes.
I don't know about that. Yeah. Just, like, the like, it's the kind of pulled back behind the ears, and then there's just, like, two little bits. It's, like, almost like a bang, but because they're so long, they come down over the rest of your face.
I like the way you describe hair. You call it Lego hair, antenna hair.
Well, there's no better way to describe it, as far as I'm concerned. I don't
I'm
know.
I'm so scared about what you talk behind my back about my hair. Like, what do you say? What is this? What do you call this?
Huh?
What do you call this just, thing?
You know.
Lion's mane?
Yeah, we'll call it that.
Oh, no.
All right, let's pick up the pace a little bit here. Phoebe is quizzing Joey on his hand things, and she's like, you don't know what you're talking about. And Joey is having trouble focusing, and Phoebe should have known this and should have seen this coming, because it was just, like, a couple of episodes ago where Ross was having similar frustrations trying to get Joey to commit to a task of writing his screenplay. Like, he doesn't want to focus. He wants to play Fireball with Chandler, so... So he's struggling. He's learnt, like, the other things. He's like, oh, G and F and A. And at this point, you kind of gasp, like you were shocked that like, Phoebe wasn't a good teacher. You're like...
Oh, I guess because he called her stupid.
He didn't call her stupid.
Yes, he did.
He said her method of teaching was stupid.
Yeah, and that wasn't nice.
It's hard to argue.
She is a free spirit. She is who she is. And the fact that he's like, well, the way you teach is stupid. I just felt like if one of my friends said that to me, I'd be really offended. It'd be one thing if he's like, I just don't agree with the way you're doing it. Mm-hmm. As opposed to calling it stupid. Yeah, it made me feel sad for her.
Well, it was stupid. And Joey...
Michael!
For one of the first times in the series is correct. Elsewhere, Rachel, like, picks up the phone in her apartment and she hears Monica on a phone call. And she's, like, talking all sexy to somebody. And she's like... And Rachel's like, oh, what's this? What's this? And then Chandler's voice comes on. And Rachel's like, oh, my God. What's happening? Oh my God. Rachel seems to have stumbled across this tangled web of deception that Monica and Chandler have been weaving these past 11 episodes.
I knew it.
Well, yeah, you saw the first episode of the season.
No, but I knew that the friends were going to find out one at a time. Remember I said that?
I don't, but...
Remember.
Okay. Funny you remember that part of these shows, but okay. Ross is in trouble hiding in the bathroom of Elizabeth Hornswoggle with his shrunken pants. He calls Joey, hoping to get Chandler, but all he's got is Joey. And Joey is like, oh, you should just put baby powder on them and it'll soak up the moisture. And while you were recoiling, I was like, there's no way Joey would think of an idea that that clever.
Or would there be readily available baby powder?
Yes. He's in a bathroom.
I don't have baby powder in my bathroom.
I know, but if it was going to be anywhere, it would be in that room.
I guess.
Doesn't work. So then he's like, oh, how about lotion? And he tries lotion as well.
But we're talking like he's putting powder and lotion all up and down his legs.
Yeah, at this point, everywhere. Ross, in his panic, has just become a fucking moron.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like just like spraying his legs with lotion. And I don't know why you think that's going to work, mate.
He's been in there for quite a while at this point, too.
So that's not going to help. Rachel is desperate to share this information that she's just learned. She goes to talk to Joey. Joey doesn't want to know because he's already keeping his own secret. Does he know it's the same fucking secret? So he puts his fingers in his ears and is like, la 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 la. And Rachel walks away. And then Chandler picks up a duck and puts it in Joey's face. And he's like, bah.
The chick.
I do beg your pardon.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
Ross has been in the toilet for a while. Elizabeth is knocking on the door and is like, I'm starting to get a little bit freaked out. At this stage, Ross should just go for broke and go for the naked man.
Should you remind people what the naked man is?
It's a bold move. Like if you're on a date with someone and they leave the room for a minute and you just strip naked.
And you
stand there waiting for them, and you have a big old smile on your face when you come back in. And two times out of three, they're going to be disgusted and kick you out. and one time they're gonna laugh, and you're in there. And you know, it's better. One in three shot is better than his shots that he goes for, where he just opens the door, kind of sniveling and like clutching his balled up leather trousers to his groinal area, and he's just kind of like, I'm sorry, and off he goes.
He's a mess.
It's not good, man.
No, he's a mess.
Is he still on his medication? Like, he is...
He's a mess.
He's fucking fallen far in a short period of time. Elsewhere, Joey apologizes to Phoebe. Phoebe is like, all right, you've earned this guitar. She gives him a guitar and he goes to play it. And, like, the first note that he strums, he drops the guitar. He's just like, oh, well. Ross arrives back at Monica and Rachel's place in the exact same, like, condition that he left Elizabeth Hornswoggle's place.
And apparently, Monica and Rachel have been just watching Ben.
Yeah, looking after him as he goes on his date.
It's kind of implied that he might do that a lot. But why, like, wow, you have Ben one time and you leave him to go on a date. I don't like him. I don't like him.
But like, he's just like... He's traveled all the way home in this condition, like, without his trousers on, like, holding it covered in powder and lotion. And he arrives there and he's just like, this is not going to be my year. And then he sees that Ben has made him a picture and he's like, oh, this is great. This is fantastic. And you're like, Ross, maybe you should fucking focus on being a dad and being a good dad than, like, trying to, like, sleep with these random floozies right. with your fucking shit pants.
Ben made him a picture. He drew him as a cowboy because of his leather pants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a cowboy. Mm-hmm. And then this is like, oh, he thinks I'm a cowboy. I'm going to go say goodnight. And just like...
It's like, maybe spend time with him. Put him to bed yourself in your own apartment.
But he's going to go through and, like, say goodnight. He's going to wake him up sleeping, and all he's going to see is his dad hovering over him in his fucking underwear with lotion and powder on his legs. Like, this is like...
Daddy, what's wrong?
Honestly,
what
like...
What happened?
Ross has fucking lost it at this point.
Fucking lunatic.
Is he still on the meds? Like, why is he acting this way?
He's a Looney Tune.
It's not funny. Rachel knows, like, Chandler and Monica make excuses to do laundry together, and then Phoebe leaves, and then Rachel's kind of like, I know, Joey. And Joey's like, I know, too. And now they know together, basically. I can't be bothered dancing around how they figure out that they both know. But they both know.
Yeah.
And it's great. Hooray. And then the episode ends. In the end credits, Chandler, like, comes in and he's just like, fuck this, I'm going to make fun of everyone. And he basically just makes fun of Ross. He's like, leather pants, Tom Jones, Hornswoggle, you're dating a character from Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, he hands Ross the $50 and says all that stuff. And then he's just like, ah, yes.
Did you get the Fraggle Rock jokes made about you a lot?
Always.
Yeah.
It was really upsetting.
Mm. Well, you know what? I'd rather live in Fraggle Rock than in a world where people couldn't tolerate someone with the last name Hornswoggle. So really, you're the winner, buddy.
Thanks,
Don't even sweat it.
Yeah, thank
Fuck
you.
Fuck those guys. Mm-hmm. And that was it. That was the one with all the resolutions. What'd you make of that one?
Pretty good. It was all right.
It was all right?
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It was all right.
It was all right. It didn't really shake the world.
No, but it was okay.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, you've been rating them out of 10 recently. You wanna give an arbitrary score out of 10?
6.5.
6.5? All right. Well, significantly better than the last one. Mm. You give about a 4 and a 5, mm-hmm. so... Yeah, I give it about 6.5. Didn't really... Yeah, it was fine. Mm-hmm. It was all right. Cool. I think our conversation about it was better than the episode, so...
I think so,
If you've never seen the episode, now...
No need, really.
Now you don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, we fucking nailed it. Cool. All right, well, are you interested in the name of the next episode?
Yes, please.
It is called The One with Chandler's Work Laugh.
Work Laugh. So he probably does, like, a fake laugh in front of his bosses or important people.
All right, Elizabeth, get out of the writer's room. All right, you know, come on. Save some surprises for the next episode. Well, that's going to do it for this week. If you have an obscure 1990s American sitcom that you want us to discuss very briefly on the show, just tweet us at FriendsPod. You can also catch us on Twitter at FriendsPod and join in the fun and games with bamboozled scores and just random comments and observations and, you know, pointing out mistakes and things that we talked about in episodes from a year or two ago. That's always fun to hear. But we always appreciate hearing from you nonetheless. You can catch us on our website, which is friendstotheend.podomatic.net. It's got all of our old episodes as well as our artwork on there. If you want to help support the show and throw a couple of pennies our way to, you know, keep the lights on and the microphone working and all that stuff, you can search on Patreon for Friends Till the End and sling a couple of bucks our way. For our first 10 patrons, we are going to send a very special guest.
Not a guest. Just a gift.
Gift in the mail. Thank you very much. Including you, Kimberly, who pledged a good while ago, and we have not yet put your gift in the mail. But it is coming, I promise. It is purchased, and we have it in our possession. We just need to put it in the mail, so you will get that very soon. As will anybody else, if you pledge within the first 10 people. Search Patreon for that. We are going to be releasing our bonus episode, Friends on Film, for our patrons very soon. By the end of August is what we pledge. We got a couple of weeks left. We're going to do it. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. We're going to review Scream starring Courtney Cox. Woo! So you can check us out on there. Other ways to support the show. Find us on Instagram because we post our show notes and other funny observations there. You can support the show by leaving a friendly rating or review on iTunes or anywhere else you really get podcasts. And of course, telling a friend a word of mouth is a great way to spread the love.
That's weird. It was long.
My brain was trying to catch up with my mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, you do what you do. Mm-hmm. All right, Elizabeth Hornswoggle, thank you so much for moving your lips and contributing to the conversation in this episode.
Look, you're welcome, Michael.
I'll see you for episode 101. Can't wait for the anniversary gift you're going to get me for that.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on mine too, so.
Happy 100 episodes, everybody!
Bye!